So it was the year around 700 BC. The kingdom of Israel, God's people, supposedly, was split into two kingdoms, the north and the south. And in fact, the north by that time is no more. Only the southern kingdom, Judah, is left. And in fact, this kingdom isn't doing very well itself. It's shrinking. Because the Assyrians, the neighboring dynasty, destroyed the whole neighboring countries. They occupied all of this little kingdom, Judah's territory. And it's left with just one city, Jerusalem. And if you're the people of God stuck in this city, you wouldn't have hope. Because you see, Jerusalem is not going to strengthen itself. There's not going to be help from the outside. You're looking up to God, and this God seems to not care about you. And so, in fact, what people began to do is they turned to witchcraft, they turned to divination, asking the Israelite God is the last thing anybody thought about. And it's during this time, one of God's messengers, the prophet Isaiah, he described this. He says, the Israelites, these people, they will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And then they'll look at the earth. They'll look to the earth, but behold, look, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. This is not hard to imagine at this time, is it? If you just maybe imagine yourself as a Ukrainian, if not for America or NATO or these countries supplying weapons and resources, your country would have been left with one city left, and you have been surrounded. You look to the outside, there's no help. You look to the inside, there's no help. You look upstairs, there's no help. Some of us came to Canada from Hong Kong. You might have felt a similar situation. Now, even if you didn't come from Ukraine, didn't come from Hong Kong, it's not hard to see the darkness, the distress, the gloom of anguish, the thick darkness that the world is being plunged into every year. And so it's during this dark time, during this distressing moment, that God gives a promise of light, a promise of deliverance through that prophet Isaiah. And you can kind of receive this promise as a picture. And this picture has four little snapshots in it. The first snapshot, the first scene, is as the people who walked in darkness previously have seen a great light. And those who dwelled in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And so darkness has been overcome. That was the first snapshot. Second snapshot, you look outside the city, what are you going to see? You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they're glad when they divide the spoil. You see, the hunger is over, the harvest is here, the famine caused by the war is over. There is joy and rejoicing. The third snapshot, what do you see inside the city? For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The enemies and their weapons are defeated, and the kingdom of Israel is rescued. Fourth snapshot, what do you see at the city gate? For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And what is that telling you? That's telling you it's the end of the battle. There's no need for the boots and for the weapons and for the armies. They're not needed anymore. Let's burn them all and just use them as fuel. That is a picture of peace and prosperity. Beautiful picture. And so if you receive this picture, when will this happen? That's your question. When will this happen? I don't know. God didn't say when. But God did give you a sign. And God says, when you see the sign, you know darkness is complete and dawn is on the way. An enemy, the enemy will be defeated. These weapons are no longer needed. What is the sign? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And so the sign that tells you when this is going to happen is a child. The child will be born, and this child will be from David, from Judah, and this child will become a king. And all kings have a title. Alexander the king had a title. Alexander was called the Great. This king had a long title. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This king has all wisdom and all knowledge. He has all power, but he's also like a father, and he's full of love, and he's able to bring everlasting peace. And so the Israelites, they waited and they prayed and they hoped and they prayed, and one dynasty passed, the other arises. The Assyrians are now gone. The Babylonians are here, and you think that's better. No, that's not better, because the Israelites are destroyed. The city sacked, they were exiled, and they were taken captive. But Babylonians are not going to last, because the Persians overtook them. The Greeks then came. They came with a short period of Seleucids. And then finally, the great and almighty Roman Empire. One generation after another, one era after another, the Israelites, they started off as a kingdom, became two, and then two of them became one. One of them became a city became captives, exiles, sojourners, citizens without a country, people without a home, and they're still waiting for the sign. For to us a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is anybody still waiting for this sign? And so 700 years have passed. People have forgotten, given up on the sign. The sign will probably not come in their time. Maybe it will never come. Until one year, the year of Caesar Augustus, a sign. In a field near Bethlehem, a small town close to Jerusalem, an angel appeared to a group of shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." You see the sign? Do you hear the sign? The promise that God has given through Isaiah, that promise is here, it is now, and you don't have to wait any longer. Look for the sign. It's a child. It's a baby in a cloth, in a manger. For to us, a child is born. A son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus Christ.
until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Thy day spring come and cheer our spirits by thine heaven here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Jesus was going to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. He came to a town called Sychar. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well.
It was about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink."
The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"You have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock."
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Please, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come here."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true."
Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. The woman left her water jar and went away into town. She told people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?"
"There is a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" Some might call it strange, some might call it weird, but to the woman, what happened today is a little frightening or maybe scary. Imagine this, you chose to come to get water in the middle of the day, the hottest time of the day, precisely because you don't want to be seen. You don't want to interact with anyone, and you meet this tired, exhausted traveler asking you for water. He was a man, a Jewish man, and there are social boundaries that you guys are expected not to cross, and no self-respecting Jewish man will speak to a woman from Samaria. But he told you he has living water, free of charge, never thirst again, never be thirsty again, and that must be a scam. Have you ever heard of a water that quenches all thirst? I have heard of a drink that gives fuel. I have heard of a drink that gives wings. Never heard of a water that solves the problem of thirst once and for all, but do you believe it? Wouldn't it be amazing to have this? Because you see, Africa needs it, Asia needs it, even America needs it. You and I need it. You don't need Gatorade, you don't need Red Bull, you don't need Coke, you don't even need water. No longer need to run after the things that will make you thirsty. No longer, in fact, have to chase after things that will never make you full. Always leave you unfulfilled. Things that leave you empty. Living water. Never thirst again. Do you believe it? I mean, look at this man. He's exhausted. He's lying beside the well. Well, give me some of that water then. How are you going to get that water? You don't even have a bucket? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he asked you to bring your husband? Well, you have no husband. And he says, you're right, you have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the man you're now with is not your husband. That's scary, or maybe a little frightening. How does this man know? You don't know him. He doesn't know you. He doesn't live here. You haven't seen him your whole life. He wouldn't have heard it from this town. And so who is this man? Come look at this man. Who is this guy? He says that what he can give, he can satisfy. And he knows everything about me. Told me all that I ever did. Is this who I think he is? Can he actually bring satisfaction and fulfillment to your life?
That day, when evening had come, Jesus said to us, "Let's go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd, we took him with us in the boat. There were also other boats with us.
While we were at sea, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling.
He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. So we woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still."
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Then he turned and said to us, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?"
We were filled with great fear, and we thought,
Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You're familiar with the stories from Israel's history. The great leader Moses, he split the Red Sea in half with the staff. Elisha, the great prophets, split the Jordan River by hitting it with their garment. You know these stories by heart. In fact, you heard it since you were 3 years old. By kindergarten, you were teaching your younger sibling. By elementary, you were acting them out in a play. But you see, what's different this time is that's not a story. It's an experience. An experience that you are in. Now, not that you don't believe in it, but you've never trusted in them. Never relying on them. You trusted yourself. Your own two hands are more dependable. Your own two hands, with your own two hands, you take care of your boat, you fish, you take care of your family, heck, even the whole town sometimes if you're lucky. But tonight, the situation is out of hand. And if not for him, you would have been long gone in the bottom of the sea. In fact, all of you would have been long gone in the bottom of the sea. And so this is not just from your history of fishing. This is not just any wind or any wave. You have never seen this your whole life. There has to be some sort of spirits working in here. And so you wake him up, you do something. Help us, pray, help us try to get some of this water out of the boat. But he woke up and said, "Peace, be still." But he wasn't talking to you. He wasn't talking to all of you who are panicking. He was talking to the sea. He was talking to the wind, he was talking to the waves, he was talking to the storm. And they listened to him. And they obeyed him. And there was a great calm, as if time stopped. This is what you were taught when you were young. You memorized this in Sunday school. You were a fisherman. You would remember this. What psalm was it? Psalm 107. The people saw the deeds of the Lord and his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. The people mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Moses can split the sea. Yes. Elijah can walk across the Jordan River. But only Lord, Yahweh, God can calm the sea. And so you ask, who is this man? Can anybody tell me who this man is? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Is he who I think he is? And if the sea can be stilled by his voice, can your heart find stillness in him?
Through it all, through prepared for me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple. The Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us who you are."
Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand, because no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Everyone in the room wanted him to identify himself. Doesn't matter if you're a Pharisee, if you're a Jew, if you're a teacher, an elder, or maybe even a disciple. Everybody wanted to know who this man was. But no one in the audience, not even yourself, is prepared for this answer. "I give them eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of my hand, because no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." You have been with him for so long. This is the first time you remember him publicly proclaiming his status with God. And so you guess that's why he's able to stay. You understand? No one can snatch any of his followers out of his hands. In fact, not just no one. No pain, no sickness, no death. Not even Satan can snatch anyone out of his hands. And so in him, in Jesus, there is perfect security because you are in the Father's protection. And so if his disciples, if his followers need not to be afraid of pain or death or Satan or the devil, what do you have to be afraid of?
When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume.
As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them.
When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, or what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner."
Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Once upon a time, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him $100,000, and the other, $10,000. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins has been forgiven, as a great love has shown. But whoever has forgiven little, loves little."
Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?"
Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Who is this who even forgives sins? You wonder that because, well, only God can. Only the Creator of heaven and earth has the authority. Only He has the right to forgive sins. But here He is, Jesus, telling this woman, "Your sins are forgiven." And think about it. Wouldn't that be great? everything that you've done in this life were forgiven. Anything that you've ever done that you don't want to remember, anything that you've ever done that you don't want anyone to know, anything that you've said that you regret still to this day, the things that make you shameful, the stories that make you regretful, the history that make you hide in the dark, and the lies that keep you stuck in the past. I mean, if all of these can be wiped clean, like this woman in front of Jesus, isn't that great? If someone offered you a chance to start fresh, start new, a new person, do you want to? I would want to. Imagine this. Imagine if all the voices in your mind, these voices, they keep telling you, you're such a bad person, you're so filthy, you're not worth it. Imagine all these voices, they come to an end one day. These voices that have been torturing you, bombarding you, they just come to an end. And that day, you wake up, you get a coffee, you walk out onto the streets. What do you hear? You don't hear these voices no more. What do you hear? You hear birds chirping. You hear leaves rustling and the wind blowing. And what do you feel? And so when Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. That's not a metaphor. Jesus actually saved her from the guilt, the shame, the sorrow, and the regret. And going in peace is not just a little saying either. The woman actually feels it. She knows it. And maybe this is the first time ever she knows what peace feels like. And if the Prince of Peace declares that you have the peace, then that is yours. And so do you believe in Him? That's the Christ that Isaiah prophesied. The wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What did you wish for in this past Christmas? What did you wish for? Or maybe what presents did you receive this past Christmas? Have you ever gotten or maybe even imagined a gift that could satisfy you, fulfill you forever? That you would never have to chase after these things that can never make you happy anyway. And you never have to work for the things that will really never satisfy you. The wonderful Counselor, He says He knows what you need. And you see, the gift that He gives, the living water, will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life, and you will never thirst again. The past Christmas, did you receive everything that you've wanted? Did you receive things that you can buy on Amazon or Best Buy or Apple Store? Were they on sale? Discount? What if I told you that there's a gift that's free? You just need to know Him and believe in Him, and that gift is the Mighty God. And that gift comes in a form when you are going through the life's toughest storms, darkest moments, He will give you a gift that will give you stillness. A stillness in the life toughest storms. Free gift. You just need to know Him and believe in Him. Did you get any presents for your loved one this Christmas? The past Christmas? Did you treat them for dinner, flowers, maybe? Give them a jacket. Maybe some of us are going for a trip. Have you ever considered, eternal security? Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand because no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You will never perish in the times of sickness, in the times of disease, in the times of war and famine and earthquake. Jesus says, I offer eternal life and no one can take anybody out of my hands. Are there any gift better than that one? Today is the 31st. Tomorrow is the new year. Will you set resolutions? Anything you want to start? Anything you want to start over? What if there's a gift? A gift that allows you to start over from a clean state. Wipe away everything that you've done in the past, all the wrongs, all the sins, everything that will be taken away. If there is this gift, would you take it? And I mean, this gift is not a hypothetical, hypothetical question. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A new creation, start over, a new person. And for some of us in here, perhaps that's the best gift you can ever get in any Christmas of any year. To let the Prince of Peace into your life to give you the peace. To put an end to all that accusations and the guilt and the shame. And to have a new start, a new beginning, and a new creation. And so it is during this time, this season, that we remember this gift, this sign, the promise, the child. That was given in the darkest time of Israel's history. There was a star in the night, a morning star. There was a light in the darkness. For to us a child is born, a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And anyone that will believe in him, know him, believe in him, follow him. He says, I'll give you living water that satisfies you forever. I'll give you stillness in your heart when you are going through storms and waves. I'll give you eternal protection. Death nor evil can take you away. And I'll give you perfect peace. The end of all your shame and guilt. And so at this time, I have two invitations to give. If you've heard of all this today and you're interested, but you're not convinced, I want to give you an invitation. This invitation is simple. Can you come consistently to seek out this gift, to learn about this gift, to know Jesus? Come every week. Try to read the Bible. It's very simple. And to be honest, if I'm lying, if we're lying to you, if anything in here that we're doing is lying to you, you will only lose 1 hour of your week. But if I'm speaking the truth, you will receive a gift of eternal satisfaction, stillness, protection, and peace. You don't want to miss that out. That's the invitation, the first one that I give. The second one, if you've heard all this and you say, I want to make a decision right now. I want to receive this gift. You know, I've heard of the satisfaction that people say, you know, the Christ followers mention, but I've never experienced it myself. I've heard of, you know, the stillness that, you know, these crazy Christians experience during the toughest moments of their lives, but I never experienced it. I've heard of the protection that they claim they have and, you know, all this COVID-19, all this sickness and all this death stuff going on. I never felt safe. Or maybe you've heard of people being peaceful with themselves, with their past, with who they were, with their burdens. And you say, I have been haunted by that. And you say, I want to know this Christ. I want to get this gift. If that's you, I have an invitation to give. It's very simple as well. In a second, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And the prayer will go something like this. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. You are my Lord and my Savior. In the past, I trusted in myself, my own two hands, but now I trust and I believe in you. And I ask you to be my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace. May you be with me forever. That's a prayer that I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Church, let us stand. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. You are my Lord and my Savior. In the past, I have trusted in myself, my own two hands, but now I trust and I believe in you. And I ask you to be my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace, my King and my God, and may you be with me forever.